Our first song this morning is page 349. We're going to sing all five verses of "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." 349.
Tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. His music in the sinner's ears, His life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avails for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy.
And turn to the first page of your red floppy book. We're going to sing "It Won't Be Long." Please stand as we sing "It Won't Be Long."
It won't be long till Christ returns to catch away His waiting bride. It won't be long, the trumpet call will sound, and we'll be gathered to His side. Above the turmoil and the strife, above this world with all its pain, there's peace and joy and boundless life, when with the Lord in heaven we'll reign. It won't be long, the day will dawn, when Christ will rise up from His throne. Down through the skies of blue He will descend, when He returns to claim His own. The dead in Christ will rise up first, then those alive will be transformed. Oh, happy day to sing God's praise, when we join in redemption's song. It won't be long till Christ returns, when we shall see Him face to face, and enter into all that He's prepared through His great sacrifice and grace. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the mansions made by perfect man, the blessed hope for which we yearn, the consummation of God's plan. It won't be long, the day draws near, when saints in glory will be found. The former things will all have passed away, and songs of praises will resound. Behold, all things will be made new, the dwelling place of God with men, and we will live eternally in the new Jerusalem. And we will live eternally in the new Jerusalem.
I don't know about you, but I always feel better after I sing that song. How about y'all? Well, this is a portion of our service where we thank our Heavenly Father for all the things that He has given us and is going to give us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of Your faithfulness and how You take care of us, provide, protect. And we're so thankful for that. And we're also thankful that we don't have to earn it or deserve it. We could never be able to do that. It's all because of Your grace. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I have an announcement to make before we get started. I'd like to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Jacob McCoska. If you all will stand up, where it goes, stand up. They were known as Jacob and Faith. Now they're that formal one. Anyway, thank you. They were married here, by the way. What was it, last Wednesday?
Yeah, last Wednesday.
Okay. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your faithfulness. Everything on this planet changes except You and Your Word. We're so thankful that we can be here this morning to feed upon it. And we thank You that You give us the faith rest drill where we can just relax in our soul knowing that we are trusting You and we are always in good hands. We pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to go into our Bibles this morning. What I'm going to do is bring up some PowerPoints that was sent out to you this morning. So we're going to look at PowerPoints that came from the Schaefer Theological Seminary Pastors Conference. And so if you are one of the ones that are on our mailing list, then you will have this link and you can see every one of the speakers and everything that was going on it opens up with this link. Now that's what the link, when you click the link, that's what you will see. And We're going to scroll down a bit. And this was the first speaker at the Schaefer Conference was Mike Stollard. It's in the, you can see it right there, Mike Stollard. And what is the meaning of the word Israel in the Bible? And then we had truth behind the headlines, Who Owns the Land? And this was Randall Price. He was a keynote speaker. He's a scholar. He has spent, I think, 9 or 10 years as a, what do they call those people that dig in the dirt? Archaeologist, thank you. Okay, and then we have Mitch Glazer, was the impact of the Holocaust on Jewish missions. He was phenomenal as well. And I'm just going to go through these quickly. Who else did we have? Arnold Frutenbaum gave a really good message. Now, if you want to, that's where this ends, but it's down there where it says at the very bottom, 1 and 2, you push number 2, and that will take you to the next ones that were going on. And I think I'm just going to go to where we're going to start today for brevity, and that is by Randall Price, How the Middle East Conflict is Preparing the World for the End Time. And if you look down at the bottom, each one of these has a little band going across, and one of them, these are hyperlinked. One of them says video, and that's if you want to watch the whole presentation, you click on that. Or you can get the audio, which it, you can listen to it. Or you can go to the text slideshow. And that's what I'm going to do this morning, and we probably won't get through all the slides that Randall had presented to us. But you have a choice. You can watch it, you can listen to it, or you can just go to the slideshows. And I'm going to go to the slideshow. He's got a lot of slides. That's why it's going so taking so long. I don't know how I managed to mess this up. It all disappeared. Let's see, where did it go? Is it here? I might have to start over. Let's see. That's not it. How can I... Okay, I'm just going to go back over here. And YouTube. I don't want that. Okay, I'm going to put up here. Y'all can just talk to each other for a second. Thank you. Can you? This is where I want to go. Right there now. When that comes up, I want to put. There it is. Well, let's see. Is that the right one? No. Now, on here, put a /. Right here. /. I got it.
Here. Where do you see here? Down. Down. Here. Okay. There we go. Okay.
Is it coming up now?
Here we go. And then...
there's number 2. Now we're going to have to wait for it to load again. What is that thing doing? Coming up again? Now, I don't know what I did. Oh, yeah, no, I remember what I did. Oh, there it is. Okay, and I'll put, go here and do... Oh, I did again. Where's Thomas? Thomas, where are you? I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm getting all befuddled here. I need to stay away from electricity and electrical things. I was really going to try to make all the things. I have so many slides, and this is killing it here. But I'm on a faith rest. I want you to stay up here with me till I get it on, okay? Okay. Now, there's something here that's supposed to say presentation. What is this? Oh, I can't do it? Oh, just scroll, okay. See, a little bit of knowledge goes a long way. Okay, I'll just leave. See, I can make it full. Is there any way to make it a full screen? Uh-huh. Yeah, right there, right there. Can you click on that? Just don't lose it. Right here. No, to the right, right,
no, right. The right side of the bottom.
On the bottom?
No, one more up.
Full screen. Did you see full screen? All right. What did that take, 20 minutes?
20 minutes and three people.
Okay, here we go. Israel at war, the truth behind the headlines. How the Middle East conflict is preparing the world for the end time. Biblical prophecy. We are living in the prophetic period of time known as the last days. Events of these days will prepare the world for the events of the end time. Could the war we are witnessing today usher in the end time events? The end time. Prophetic events cast their shadow before them. Even though we see them in the shadows, the outline of the future is becoming clear. Here's a couple of things here. Finding hope amidst tensions. How the Israel-Hamas conflict is fulfilling biblical prophecy, the other side. Living in the last days. Are Hamas, terrorists, horrors, war in Israel tied to the end times prophecies? Now, here, I'm not going to read all of this, but the Washington Post. Many evangelicals see Israel-Hamas war as part of prophecy. End of the world, Iraq, Hamas. Israel-Hamas war sends Christians in search of prophetic meaning. Higher ground is war in Israel fulfilling a biblical prophecy. On social media, Christian users urge their followers to get right with God and expressed excitement for the rapture. One woman posted a hand-drawn diagram with arrows connecting current events to biblical prophecies. I'm not going to read all of the. Sometimes I will read them all, but sometimes I won't. War in Israel, fulfillment of Bible prophecy, ? Biblical prophecy on the Gaza conflict. Israel at war, is this prophecy coming true? Israel, Hamas, and end times. The end time events have their focus on Israel. So you can see Israel there with Jerusalem marked out. The cause of the current conflict is the epicenter for the final fulfillment of God's plan for planet Earth. Guideline for interpreting prophecy and current events. Number one, interpret current events in light of the Bible, not the Bible in light of current events. Two, be sure the biblical text provides enough data to draw a correspondence with current events. And three, the fulfillment of prophetic events related to Israel will not take place until after the age of the church. We must distinguish the last days for the church and Israel, for they are not the same. On the left side, you see the last days of the church. And if you look down at the bottom, we have the first advent, of course. And then the last days of the church, and you see the rapture there. That little blue sign. I didn't touch anything. I don't know why I did that. It's Sunday. Okay. You see where it says rapture and where this is Christ coming down, He goes up and we go with Him. That's how our last days will end. And 70th week is talking about the tribulation. And so for Israel, the last days of Israel, the last days will be the second advent. It will end in the second on the second advent, but it will be during, we'll have the tribulation during that time. How the Middle East conflict is setting the stage for the end time. Number one, creating a condition for global conflict. I'm not going to read all this either. I know how many slides I have left, so I'm just going to give you the numbers, the scriptures, and I won't read all this. First one is Psalm 2:2. The next one is Isaiah 26:21. And then Jeremiah 25:30 through 31. Zechariah 12:3. Revelation 19:14 through 15 and Revelation 19:19. Now, if you're not on the list for mail out, you need to get on it because if you don't have it, you can still get on it by getting on the list. And when you go through these, take the time to read these scriptures. They're really great, and I wish I could had the time, but I have there's a lot more to go. The global war on Jews. And then you have to the right the global war on the Jews. Anti-Semitism surges even in the West, which shows why Israel exists. And this is, you see this everywhere. We have several slides talking about the global war on the Jews. Famine and disease. The confluence of constructed scenarios brings us closer to catastrophe and one world government. The global consequences of Israel-Hamas war are just beginning. Up at the right, wars and rumors of war spread across the globe, and close, of course that's in the scriptures. Down at the bottom, at the very bottom here, it says, most of us want to live in peace, but leaders all over the world are preparing for more war. In fact, at this point, it appears that the entire globe is being gripped by a really bad case of war fever. This is the global consequences of Israel and Hamas war. How the Israel-Hamas war could affect the world economy and worsen global trade tensions. How could conflict in the Middle East affect the global economy? This is all about the economy and so forth. Middle East conflict, rising tensions and global concern. Could Israel and Hamas war spread across the Middle East? Of course it can. Israel war in Gaza has exposed a deepening global divide. The global consequences of Israel-Hamas are just beginning, and the Middle East conflict is threatening to cripple a fragile global economy. The five global dangers from the Gaza war. I'm going to read these for you. Number one, economic disruption could trigger a global economic shock, including soaring oil prices and soaring and millions going hungry due to higher food prices. That's already happened. Number two, military vulnerability, drawing other nations into a wider military conflict. Number three, political realignment, the schism in views globally continuing after the war ends. So even if this war ends, it set off something that will continue. Number four, new strategic challenges degrade U.S. global standing by capitalizing on worldwide sympathy for Palestine. And does that make your stomach sick to see how many people are getting out there and supporting Hamas. Number five, belligerent non-state actors provokes militias to engage in terrorism. Now, I'm sorry I'm going this fast, but I'm not sorry because I know it's coming. And I want to get at least to the end part. Number two, this is the same thing heading at the top each time, how Middle East conflict is setting the stage for the end time. Establishing a pattern for religious, political, dominion, and war. That's supposed to be the Antichrist. You see the 666 on his forehead. what he's doing, and so you can just write this verse down if you're taking notes, Revelation 13, 4, and Revelation 13, 7 and 8. That's what you see here. He's a pretty evil-looking guy, isn't he? History reveals the globalization comes on the heels of conquest, and the Bible declares that at any time man attempts globalization, it results in rule by wicked, ungodly empires. How could it be otherwise, since it is implemented by Satan, currently the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, under whose influence the whole world lies? And this is 1 John 5, it says 14, I think it really he meant to put 4 there, 1 John 5:4. But that's why internationalism and globalism and all that always turns into what this is describing. And the Bible is shows what God thought about it when he changed the languages at the Tower of Babel. I don't go there. Okay. If you read some of these signs. The one on the far left on the bottom, Sharia, that's the Sharia law, the true solution. Freedom, go to hell. Islam will dominate the world. Freedom can go to hell. And you see, Islam, I'll dominate the world. Oh, Islam, they've got a tense. Islam will dominate the world. And again, freedom can go to hell. This is what's going on all over the world. I'm not going to read that one to you, but it's talking about how they take young men, little boys, and they train them and indoctrinate them, and they think what they want to do is kill a bunch of Jews and then go to paradise, and they have 72 virgins waiting for them. That's what motivates them. O Allah, the Almighty and Merciful, hasten the emergence of your last repository, the Promised One. That's talking about the 12th Iman, which we'll see on the next slide. That perfect and pure human being, that one that will fill this world with justice and peace. Now that is crapola, the whole part that he's saying, and what he's doing, that they're trying to mimic what Jesus Christ will do. And then below there, closing words of speech to the UN General Assembly, September 2005. Iran awaits the 12th Iman. The Islamic Republic of Iran, established in 1979, is an eschatological construct based on the 12th Iman. That's who they're waiting for. They're waiting for the 12th Iman. We're waiting for Jesus Christ. I'll put my chips on Christ every time. Article 5 of the Constitution for the Islamic Republic of Iran proclaims that the basis for the government is the authority of the 12th Iman. Over 2 million Iranians believed Khomeini was the expected one, the 12th Iman, but he declared He came only to prepare the way for his appearance. 90% of the population of Iran and 60% of the of Iraq belong to the group of Shia, as known as 12ers, who await the 12th Iman. And by the way, what is going to really motivate the Iman to come to planet Earth is they want all the chaos and tumult and everything going on, and that's going to bring in or bring the Iman. This is about, I just have to skip this one. All we need is war. The Great Reset is a globalist plan that is moving forward at lightning speed. The COVID-19 pandemic was part of the and parcel of that plan, but to really fulfill the technocrats' ambitions, a war of some kind is needed. They need chaos, mass casualties, and financial chaos in order to create the desperation necessary for the people to give up their freedoms and give in to tyranny's control. And that's what's been happening to us for a long time. Why Biden and the White House keeps talking about World War III? He looks like he's in his right element, doesn't it? War cries under the Biden administration, wars crises under the Biden administration. I'll tell you, I'll just read the yellow things. The COVID crisis, the border crisis, the energy crisis, the inflation crisis, the Russia-Ukraine crisis, Iran nuclear agreement crisis, and Hamas-Israel war are two things that has happened, and we know who's responsible. Digital control of humanity. I don't really even understand this, but he's talking about the chips, and I think the next slide will show more about it. And I've got to rush through this one. And this is talking about the vaccines. The era of digital vaccine is here. Brain implants could give government and companies power to read your mind, scientists warns. And by the way, we have the AI that is right here on us. Things are going to change soon. And who knows whether they're going to be good or bad. We know there's going to be bad. I just hope there's some good. I pray there's good. Vaxxed by machines, tracked by machines. Humanity to be augmented one cell at a time, whatever that means. Here's the healthcare thing. We'll go through that. The tribulation, the real global conformity. And this is Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 through 25. I'll read this one. The fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth. It will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law. And they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a times, which turns out to be what is exactly going to happen. I'm going to go through this one too. But this slide, if you want to write down this scripture, Revelation. I got to go back up. Revelation 13, 7b and 8, and Revelation 13 verses 16 through 17a. Here's the third thing. I think we've got seven of these, so you can understand what I'm trying to. It's either six or seven. Number three, fostering a global clash of civilization. I'm just going to give you the scriptures that go with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Well, I'm going to read this. It's so good. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what's really going on. We don't see it. But the people out there that are corrupt and evil are pawns. It's the unseen that is really changing everything on our planet. Israel-Hamas war is a clash of civilizations for a new Middle East. Israel's war in Gaza exposed a deepening global divide. The clash of civilizations and the remaking of a world order is what we see. History began in the Middle East. History will end in the Middle East. I assume that you understand that. Where was Jesus born? In the Middle East. And it's going to end. He's going to come back again. I just have to slip through these. Islam, not nationalism, is all important, according to the Muslims. Iran is not important. Islam is what is important. For the regime, it was about using Iran as a platform to launch its revolution and trying to export its ideology worldwide, not about the Iranian people. Most of the men, their goal is to die killing Jews. That's what they are about. And there are several people now that say that Iran has enough of the nuclear material to have a bomb. And one reason that is so scary, I guess you could say, is because they're crazy enough to use it. Because after all, if they send nuclear weapons and try to blow up Israel, of course Israel's got a ton of them, they don't care if they die because they have 72 virgins waiting on them. Hamas pledges allegiance to Iran in the fight against Israel and the West. Excuse me. This is just showing a kid. BBC Persian shared this picture of an advertisement circulating in Iran, encouraging young men to register to fight abroad in support of the Palestinian cause. That's sad. I'd like to read that, but it's a little long. Another step towards international war. I'm just going to read this blue part down here. It appears that we are at a very critical juncture in which we will soon see if the Israel-Hamas war spreads and how far it spreads, and longer term, whether the great powers are forced forces for peace and will back away from the brink of direct conflict or get involved across the brink. We don't know how it's going to go. It's going to go one of the other ways. Iran and China are strengthening their military ties. Pentagon releases footage of hundreds of highly concerning aircraft intercepts by Chinese planes. That's talking about the Chinese plan intercepting, buzzing, you might say, our planes. And have y'all heard any of that on the news anywhere? If Israel enters Gaza and takes out Hamas, it will remove Iran's access to Israel. Iranian-backed Hezbollah, currently shelling the north, is thought to be planning a major assault if Israel enters Gaza. Well, that's already happened. This would put Iran in the fight. It is already in the fight, by the way, he says, bringing Iran's allies, Russia, Turkey, and China, into the conflict. Y'all go ahead and read that real quick, and I'll go to the next kind. Okay, preparing for a post-October 7th world. In the aftermath of Hamas' pogrom of October the 7th, we sense a different moment in time as religious community and as citizens of the country. Country. The world won't be the same after Israel-Hamas war. The Middle East's latest war have widespread geopolitical effects. Number four, uniting the world against a common foe, which is Israel. Now this, again, is the Middle East conflict is setting the stage for the end time. For behold, thine enemies make up uproar, and those who hate thee have exalted themselves. They have shrewd plans against thy people and conspire together against thy treasured ones. That would be the Israel, the Jews. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation that the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's Psalm 83, verses 2 through 4. They even have cartoons. Of course, you can see where the Jew is. Muslim clerics, Jews are descendants of apes, pigs, and other animals. Former Iranian ambassador to Australia and Mexico, the Jews are evil. They drink the blood of Muslim children, rip open the chest of wounded prisoners, take their hearts out, and sell them. This is what is being proliferated across the world. Ministry for Strategic Affairs, Jews, Israel being blamed for coronavirus pandemic. It's all the Jews' fault. Jihad camper, Hitler left some Jews alive to show how wicked they are. Then at the bottom it says, O Allah, annihilate the Zionist dogs in Israel. Top right you see Israeli soldier fixing to shoot a child that would be Palestinian. And the butcher of Gaza, no doubt, is Netanyahu, is what they're claiming. This is what they feed on. Here's some more. Why the world hates the Jews. All of it is demonic. Over on the far right, that's a site that is on Israel. You know, when you look down the gun sites. Hamas chief calls Palestinians to march on Al-Aqsa on the first day of Ramadan. By the way, as we read these, you know what today is? The first day of Ramadan. And look at what they say about it. Hamas commander Mohammed Dias Al-Aqsa flood call was an attempt to draw in the entire Muslim population across the world into the war, which has nothing to do with Palestine and Palestinians, but to achieve the goal of Israel's destruction. Down there below, 1 billion Muslims. The global consequences of Israel's Hamas war are just beginning. What to know about global boycott movement against Israel? Boycott Israel, apartheid, free Palestine. This ship was fired on. The world is turning against Israel's war in Gaza, and many Israelis don't understand why. The Middle East is closer to the edge of a wider conflict. That's just a silly thing. This is on the right-hand side. We must attack every Jew on the face of the earth to slaughter and kill them with the help of Allah. On the left side, Muhammad al-Habash, Supreme Sharia Judge and Baba's advisor. And under that, and with whom he became angry and made of them eggs, apes and pigs. That's the Quran 560. Now look at this. I'm not going to say anything. Just look at it. This is what is happening worldwide. And if you could get this stretched out probably a mile, maybe you could keep putting pictures that are protesters, and they are protesting Israel, not the Palestinians. They are supporting the Palestinians after what happened on October the 7th. That tells you what you need to know. That's a lot of folks. Islam will dominate the world. Be prepared for the real Holocaust. And then you just look how many people are watching, and this is, looks like a parade or something. That's a lot of folks. The global war on the Jews, anti-Semitism surges in the West. Number five, forcing Jews to flee the nations of Israel. Forcing the Jews to flee the nations to Israel. Isaiah 11:12, Jeremiah 29:14, Ezekiel 20:41, Ezekiel 37:21-24, and Ezekiel 39:27. When you read these things, it's phenomenal. God is bringing His people back to Jerusalem in two phases. The first phase has already happened. That was May 14, 1948, when Israel became a nation. But they are there in unbelief for now. No safe haven for diaspora Jews but Israel. The safest place to be Jewish, 2,600 people have moved to Israel since Hamas invaded. Britain feels like Nazi Germany, the Jewish people wanting to flee the UK as anti-Semitism soars. UK's Sunak, Galloway, win rise in the anti-Semitism beyond alarming. Jewish Americans are terrified amid rising anti-Semitic attacks. How can they feel safe? Then so many of them are going back to Israel. Isn't that embarrassing? Isn't that a horrible thing that is talking about this in America? Okay, that's too much there. But immediately after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened. This is Matthew 24:29-31. The bottom line, and He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. That's still yet future, that regathering. Number six, centering the global conflict against Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. This is Zechariah 14:2-3. Matthew 24:15-16, and Revelation 11:1-2. Now, when we were getting this, somehow Randall was able to read most of these and still get through in 1 hour. Well, I don't have a whole hour, though. Okay, prophecies related to the Temple Mount. Number one, Jews would return in unbelief to Jerusalem to reclaim their heritage and destiny. Ezekiel 36:24, Romans 11:27. Two, Jerusalem would regain its national status as the capital of Israel, Matthew 24:15-22. Who made that happen? Donald Trump, the one that they have trying their best to imprison. Three, Israeli Jews would rebuild the temple, Matthew 24:15, Revelation 11:1-2. And four, Jerusalem would again be threatened by the Gentile nations. Ezekiel 38:39, Zechariah 12:2, and Zechariah 14:2. You see the Dome of the Rock. That's what this is going to be talking about, that mount. Jews occupy and control Jerusalem. Gentiles occupy and control the Temple Mount. So the Jews have occupation and control of the city of Jerusalem, but they can't do anything they want to on the Temple Mount because the Gentile occupies that and restricts it. The Temple Mount, the most violent 36 acres on earth. Volatile. Hamas held victory in battle for Jerusalem after the onslaught of central Israel. We have achieved victory in the battle for Jerusalem, the defense of Jerusalem. Hanania said, he later added, Jerusalem is the axis of conflict. No, I think he's got that backwards. This is Al-Aqsa flood. Y'all all seen the Golden Dome. Look at the face on this little boy here. Pray for Gaza. Freedom for Palestine. Peace for Al-Aqsa. This is what they show. And at the bottom one, it says, free Palestine, save Al-Aqsa. End the occupation. What they all this time they've been talking about, that land is theirs, and Israel took it away from them. Now they're under occupation. That is a huge lie. God says it's His land, and He's given it to the Jews, and I believe that. The poor little boy looks like he's angry, like he's really angry. Palestinian identity with the Dome of the Rock. You see the different things of that. This is a poster of depicting Operation Al-Aqsa flood in Beirut, Lebanon. That whole thing is a poster. There's more. We're announcing a war against the sons of apes and pigs, which will not end until the flag of Islam is raised in Jerusalem. Here's more just talking about that. There's more symbols about it. This says, Jerusalem is in danger. These are female Muslims that's saying it's in danger. Jerusalem for Palestine, always like that forever, not for Israel. You see more of these things here. Hamas chief Hanania calls Arab Israelis to storm Al-Aqsa on what? And what's today? Okay. Now look at this. Islamic prayer at Ramadan. Ramadan begins Sunday, March the 10th. And these are all people here bowed down. And this is probably goes all the way around. And they're upset. Ramadan through Palestinian Authority eyes. Abbas's advisor, Supreme Sharia Judge Muhammad al-Habas, we will turn Ramadan into a month of terror against Israel and Jerusalem. This is just more of the same. Look, here's another shot of it. On the bottom, on our left, those are people. Let's see. I just have to keep going. I need to get through at least where I need to be. Is this war fulfilling biblical prophecy? And the word is yes. Talking about after the war, all these countries in green. Those countries already recognize the state of Palestine, which there's not one. Hope there never will be. This is what all the Syria, Jordan, all these places come in and attack Israel. They've been warred against Israel about five times already, I believe. I just have to go past these. This is next war, Israel. The Temple Mount has been a center of conflict because it is at the center of God's purpose for Israel and the world. The nations attack it because it represents God's plan for His people and the place where the Messiah of Israel will one day rule over the earth. That's one reason it's so dangerous there. What could the end of the war hold for Jerusalem and the Temple Mount? Looking forward, We are looking forward to the day after Israel's defeat, after Israel defeats of all our enemies, wherever they be, to the south and to the north and to the east and to the west, building the holy temple, a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56:7 is the only peace plan that can and will succeed. The holy temple, now more than ever. Just go through these. Will this current war result in Israel occupying the Temple Mount as a first step towards the rebuilding of the temple? And here again, you have Tagarma at the top, which is Turkey. And you have Magog on the far right, which is Russia. And you have Persia, which is Iran. Kush is Sudan. And Put is Libya. Jerusalem is ours. What's behind Turkey's astonishing claim? Jerusalem is our city, Turkey's Erdogan declares. Let's see what else we have. Turkey, analysis. Jerusalem is ours. Now, they're claiming that it's theirs, and they're going to try their best to take it. Each day that Jerusalem is under occupation is an insult to us. Well, it's why it's not under occupation. Call for the Islamic invasion of Israel. At the end of March 2018, Turkish dictator Recep Tayyip Erdogan called for the forming of a 5 million man Islamic army with a $175 billion budget to attack Israel simultaneously from multiple fronts. Well, you tried it before and you can try it again. But you can get as many men and as much money as you can possibly get. But you have to remember who loves Israel. And that's God Himself. So that's who they are contending against. 2 weeks after signing the Iranian nuclear deal, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei published a 460-page book entitled Palestine on Outwitting the U.S. and Destroying Israel. I just have to get going. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Islamic Unity Conference. Again, I have to get past this. Russia is forming an alliance of pariah states in the Middle East. The Middle East is sliding closer to the edge of a wider conflict. Iran's war of preemptive action against Israel and Gaza war. Russia is turning increasingly hostile towards Israel as it picks sides in the Middle East. Middle East escalation could go nuclear. The UN is a watchdog. All these things are happening. And by the way, look at the bottom here. What role does Russia have to play in Hamas invasion of Israel? You got Putin. You got Erdogan, and you have whoever it is in charge of Iran there. This is Turkey set to keep strong Russia ties. And there you have those two shaking hands. Now, these are two in the Gog Magog invasion on Israel. Those two are in the countries that show that they will attack Israel. Now look at this one. This is the slide I wanted to get to, for sure. Could Israel's current war with Islam be a catalyst for the war of Gog and Magog? And there you have Iran, Turkey, Russia threaten Israel in eastern Mediterranean. In the last 2,500 years, there has never been a military alliance made of Russia, Turkey, and Iran. The three countries that are going to invade Israel with the Gog Magog when they attack them. But now they are clearly making plans together. Here you have Iran on the left, Russia in the middle, and Turkey on the right. These people, especially Russia and this guy in Iran, there has never been anything, any association whatsoever for as long as Iran and Russia have existed. But now, at this point, now they're talking and commiserating, and Turkey is in there as well. The coming invasion of Israel, Ezekiel 38 through 39. That's where the Gog and Magog, all these players are, and the Gog and Magog prophecy. I'm sorry, I'm already just time to end, but these are the players, the enemies of who they are. Rosh is Russia, Magog is Russia satellites, Meshek is Turkey, Tubal is Turkey, Persia is Iran, Kush is Sudan, Put is Libya, Gomer is Turkey, and Beth Togarma is Turkey. This is a slide that has to do with the Gog and Magog. And this is, after many days you will be summoned. In the latter years you will come into the land, verse 8. It will come about in the last days, I shall bring you against my land. This is verse 16. The context is Israel. So this concerns the last days for Israel, not the church. All of these things that we're seeing, once whatever happens, we're going to not be in the tribulation. We will be with Christ because of the rapture. So we have to remember that. Israel of Ezekiel 38, 8 through 13. And, you know, I'm already done. But if you, I think I'll just end on this one. I have a lot of slides after this one also, by the way, but I'll end on this one because we're already out of time. Israel of Ezekiel 38, verses 8 through 13. This is the results of this. Number one, regathered from the nations. They all are going to be, and they are regathering now. Number two, in the latter years, is the last days. Number three, brought back from the sword. Number four, peaceful people dwelling securely in unwalled villages. Number five, dwelling without walls, bars, or gates. Six, having gold and silver and acquired livestock and goods. Wealthy nation possessing booty and great plunder. This is the reasons why Turkey and Russia and Iran are going to invade, is because Israel is very rich right now. Oh, well, I'm just going to have to stop because I have many more. If I hadn't have hit the wrong button three times in a row, I think it was, we'd have more time. But, so, that's here nor there. Oh, I need to take a breath. We live in times that so many people think, well, everything is going to continue as it always has. That is not true. I've never seen the entire world, in an uproar as it is now. Satan is rattling his saber, and you know what God is doing? He's laughing. He's laughing because he has it all under control. That's what we need to remember. But we need to also see that very possibly our time is short. I'm not, for some of us, just short because we're old, but it could be short because Jesus, I think, is going to be coming fairly soon. I don't know when, but I'm not pushing a date, but we need to tell people what you have seen here and do what I'm doing now, and that is, this is just information. What is really important is that we're not shook about it. We're not afraid. We're not panicking because we are God's children, and we will be out of here before the Gog Magog world, I mean, when they invade and when the tribulation begins. But the people that you might be talking to might not know that. They probably don't know any of that. And so we need to really double our effort when it comes to giving the gospel, which, by the way, is is mandated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that's verse 19 and I think maybe 20, those two together. So we have a job to do, and we can't do it in our own strength. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God. And we see the earth in desperation. We see so many people that are suffering. We see wickedness and iniquity at a level that most of us have never seen. And it seems like it's getting worse. It seems like no one's held accountable. But none of that could happen unless You have allowed it and You have a reason for it. So we pray that You will help us to trust You in the things that are going to be unfolding in the near future. That we won't get angry, we won't be afraid, that we will just keep telling people our only hope, our only salvation, our only deliverance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will never leave us personally or forsake us. We want to be warriors that in the spiritual realm. We pray that You will use us and help us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen.